everyone goes, wow, this deck is not good.
As I just descended into the tiny bowl of rankings.
Decks just seem to be more value-oriented.
Oh, my nipples just got hard. It's a Carnage Tyrant meta.
Work with your local police.
I feel a little cheated.
The guy was sitting there handcuffed.
The whole range of human emotions. Oh, you brave soul. Welcome to another episode of Tryhards, where we sincerely hope you have something better to do than listen to this episode of Tryhards. I'm Sean Seacrease. He's Brian Tibbetts, and he is Mr. Happy Ending. Yes, it's Matt Hurley. We'll get to that a little bit later in the cast this evening. Coming up, the magic that we played, our first deep dive into singles modern in quite a while. The team series has taken off so often, I feel like it's almost it's a tennis-esque now. We have to preview the fact that it was actually singleton being played, not Highlander style, but just one player, one deck. That brings us up to what we're drinking here this evening. For me, got unusually warm today, and I spent quite a bit of my time today priming a house. Yes, it was actually as much fun as it sounds like. So just some quick all-day IPA for me here in the studio tonight. Matt, I know you're in a celebratory mood. What are you drinking?
I went with the fancy stuff, so I'm drinking some Blanton's. It tastes delicious, and that's all I got, but it's fantastic. Everyone will understand why I'm in a great mood a little bit later.
Matt, just make sure when you get on the horse, you don't get on side saddle. Brian, what are you drinking tonight?
In order to celebrate with Matthew tonight, I decided to get a little bit of the Kentucky nectar, as it were, and I got a little bit of Bullet bourbon in my glass, and having it neat in honor of Mr. Hurley this evening.
Everything sounds so delicious when you guys phrase it like that. Hopefully you've got something delicious in your glass as well as we roll out this episode of Tryhards. Guys, what magic did you play? I had a hugely busy week last week, snuck in a few minutes here, a few minutes there to play some Arena. And if you're interested in advancement, in achieving a higher ranking, I probably shouldn't have played last week. I don't know if it was because I was experimenting with things like mono blue aggro or that I was totally sidetracked with other things going on and was just resting my brain while playing, but I think my ranking took two hit levels as I just descended into the tidy bowl of rankings all weekend. All right, I got to stop trying to be experimental and focus more on what I'm doing. Good lesson learned, but always good to search for something new that you think might have a chance to break out. Brian, what magic did you get to play?
Absolutely none. Been tuning the deck, though, Sean, for our upcoming Legacy adventure this coming weekend, so I am very much looking forward to busting out the kind of new and improved version of the deck I've been working on.
And that deck is?
Mono Blue Painter. I was toying around with maybe going kind of like the Jeskai Helm combo deck and kind of stuff, and I started to put it together, and I said, you know what? No, this other one is just, it's lean and it's mean, and it does exactly what I want it to do, and I can kind of bring in the Helm package from the board. I swapped out some fetch lands for some basics just to kind of make it a little bit better to play with Brainstorms and just kind of get some more shuffle effects. I think I still have a couple more practice rounds I want to get in before it's right where I want it, but I was really happy with the changes I made.
Should be very cool, and good luck coming up on Sunday as you get to roll that out. Matt, what magic did you get to play this week?
Honestly, after what happened last weekend, I wasn't in the mood really to play Magic. So I actually went down to the shop Thursday night and ended up playing a completely different game, DC Deck Builder. Almost zero interest in playing Magic after all the nonsense that happened last week.
That's a story for just a little bit later in the podcast. We're going to talk about what Matt went through and how you'll be best educated to handle a similar situation if you're ever unfortunate enough to have that befall you. So that's coming up as we continue with this episode of Tryhards. Usually, we'd be due for a Tryhards Patreon raffle. We were contacted by the fabulous support team at Patreon to let us know that they had kind of changed a few things about how you can accept patronage, what you can offer people for rewards, and they haven't issued us a clarification just yet on our biweekly Patreon raffle here on Tryhards. So in order to maintain best practices with our partners at Patreon, we're going to go ahead and put this on the shelf for just a week or so, hopefully, until we get the final word for them and clear that up. We'll make sure that we get right back to you with every bit of support that you've shown us that we like to give back to you So with that on the shelf, let's dive right into this week's tournaments. SCG had the Dallas Modern Open. We've brought in an expert to help us navigate the Open. He has qualified for the SCG Invitational, at which he will be playing Modern. And in order to Sherpa us through this, it's Matt Hurley, our Modern guru. Matt, how'd this go down this weekend?
683 players, pretty decent size for an Open. Peter Holman took it down with four color Death Shadow. But I think the big news from the tournament is there was a lot of dredge running around. People were just didn't bring their sideboard hate. This format is starting to become just like Legacy is. You forget about dredge. Guess what? It pops its ugly head up. And with Creeping Chill or whatever that new card is, it's a powerful card. Dredge took two spots in the top eight. We had Infect, three humans, and then Mono Green Tron. So nothing really crazy there. Gruul Land Destruction, which was your basic Ponza deck. But some minor changes there. 10th place. A lot of Ironworks, Bant Spirits, and a lot of Hollow One. There was a Mono Green Devotion that took 28th, which that one was pretty interesting. But I've seen a bunch of people play this deck since then. And everyone goes, wow, this deck is not good. I think that's being a little hyperbole, or speaking a little bit in hyperbole there. But I do think that the deck is kind of like a little on the weaker side. This is your typical kind of like top 32. Nothing really crazy that I saw over the weekend. Did you guys see anything interesting pop up? Brian, did you get to watch any of this?
Every time I tuned in, it seemed to be like a Dredge versus X matchup. And it's one of those things where Dredge just does its thing if it's not being pressured. And if you don't have any real solid graveyard hate, Dredge is just going to kind of run all over you, which I think was the big lesson from the weekend. And those decks that were doing well were packing, you know, four Rest in Peace or Grafdigger's Cages, things of that nature. So, Dredge seemed to be the story of the weekend. I was thinking there's like a shift going on. Decks just seem to be more value-oriented than they were speed-oriented from just maybe 2 months ago, guys. And I think that just might be from card quality. You know, if you can be as efficient as you possibly can be, that's probably where you want to be in Modern right now.
Yeah, I'm looking at this top 32 list, and it seems like darn near 50% of the meta was humans and dredge. And that brings up an interesting conundrum to me, Brian. Can humans go like wide enough, fast enough in order to close out a game against dredge, or does dredge's best hands just overwhelm humans? I think that's going to be an interesting conundrum coming up in the meta game. What happened to Storm? That's the other thing I'm looking at here in this top 32. I see one high-ranking Storm deck, and it looks like it wasn't played in big numbers. It may have a bad dredge matchup. I'm not that sure about the Modern version and how they interact. I'm more familiar with how it works in Legacy. But to me, Storm, if you're going to have a deck that takes two or three turns to set up like the dredge deck does, they're not going to pressure you on turn two, then that may give Storm room to bounce back in a big way, because Storm on the play can get it done on turn three.
Absolutely right. Dredge is not an interactive deck at all. And So if Storm knows that they're playing against that, if they see that discarded Narcomoeba on turn one or two, they're going to start cranking out Baralls and the Electromancers, and they're going to start Manamorphosing and ritualing all that they can to get everything into the graveyard and then hit the Past in Flames and just go off. I think that's actually a really, really good point and a really good way to approach that matchup. So interesting little tension moving forward. Will people pick up Storm? That seems to be a deck that can run hot or cold depending on the meta.
Brian, did you see the one of the other decks I actually noticed was on the 16th place? It was a blue-red Thing in the Ice, but it had Arclight Phoenix in it. What did you think about that bad boy?
Is it Spells deck? I was pretty excited about, just because that seems to be the color, my color. Jace Vin's Prodigy in there, Bedlam Reveler, Thing in the Ice, that's right up my alley. The 19 lands, it's kind of like, okay, now you're speaking my language. But I love kind of the old version of blue-red that we used to play in the Shadows over Innistrad, you know, with the Fiery Temper and things of that nature. But, you know, with Manamorphose and Thought Scour, Faithless Looting, Serum Visions, this seems really, really good. So the Arclight Phoenix is probably the card that puts that deck over the top.
It'll be interesting to see how these things continue to gel. And as Brian mentioned, this seems to be a format that has become solitaire-based or value-based as opposed to speed-based, as we saw in the previous couple of months in Modern. couple of classics that went with it over the weekend. The Modern Classic, 143 players. Drake Sasser on Humans, 2-0'd Javier Valderramos on Scred Red. The interesting thing to me in this one was the two copies of Grixis were in the top eight, and there were a couple more in the top 16 as well. Now, let's be honest, Brian. You've been worrying lately, but to call this Grixis were is a stretch. There are five cards in the sideboard that you might need Grixis colored mana for. The rest are all artifacts. So the mana base is actually pretty smooth on this. I think we've mentioned before, this seems to be the ideological inheritor to the Lantern control decks. Are you interested in Wurring in Modern right now?
We touched on this a couple weeks ago when Wur kind of hit up, but hey, we've got double the amount of Wur decks in a classic. So, you know, hey, maybe people are onto something. Again, I think this is a deck that's going to need a lot of practice. This is a deck that you've got to know exactly what you're going to get. But Wur, it cannot be denied. That is a powerful Magic card. End of turn. With the improvise mechanic and stick something onto the battlefield is pretty darn powerful. And so, yeah, I like the Wur, and I'm, you know, it's been a great card in Legacy. I think it's going to be a great card in Modern as well.
Matt, as you look at these two tournaments holistically, the Open and the Classic, do you see a changing face of Modern? We've got some Mono White Martyr. There's some dragons in there as well. Are you still solid on the deck you've been developing for the Invitational? Or does this sort of shifting metagame have you looking for new answers?
So I think my deck is solid, maybe one or two cards off on the main deck, but it's a sideboard. One of the changes I made, I was actually discussing with the original deck designer, cutting some of the graveyard hate and going with just four Leyline of the Voids, just straight four Leyline of the Voids. And so I think that's the change, where the changes are going to be, unless this develops into a really heavy, control matchup style deck. I don't think I want to go anywhere else outside of this deck.
It'll be interesting to watch the format continue to come together. Modern going to be front and center quite a bit coming up in the next weeks to months. Guys, we had a standard classic as well, 148 players. Maxwell Jones on Golgari Midrange, 2-0'd James Sung on Mono Red. All right, that makes me look bad if you get the pre and post show, because I was complaining about how you ever beat Mono Red if you're playing the Golgari Midrange deck. But James Sung's deck was a little bit different take on Mono Red. He had a Sarkhan Dragon Speaker, dragon heavy angle. So he was much more midrange than the Wizards 1-drop, 2-drop Wizards Lightning Burn deck. So we'll see if the red decks start to actually diverge in how they want to attack the metagame as Standard goes forward. Now, that being said, Standard is going to be primed in the spotlight this weekend for really the first time since Rotation. Wizards loves to have limited GPs right after Rotation, and they're the most fun at that point. Now Standard takes the throne. GP Jersey is this weekend, along with GP Lil, and both will be Standard. So I ask you, if you are on the hot seat this week, where would your interests lie? What I did for this was kind of look at each color and pick a card from each color. In white, Dawn of Hope. Very interesting to me. Blue, Search for Iskanta. No surprise there. Doom Whisperer in black. Experimental Frenzy in red. And Carnage Tyrant in green. I don't think anybody's surprised by my picks there. But if I had to go with the deck archetype, I really like where the Grixis Bolas decks are positioned. You can be mid-range, you can be a little bit more controlling. The deck has a lot of power. The question is, can you make the mana work? And are you willing to tilt your sideboard for the expected metagame? Because between black, blue, and red, you've got a lot of choices to do just that. Brian, if you're playing this weekend, are there certain cards or strategies that have angles to them that interest you heading into Standard?
There's quite a few, actually. I think the Izzet decks, the Izzet spells deck, from this past weekend, there's something about this. Ionize, Opt, Radical Idea, Chart a Course, Search for Iskanta. Sean, one of your favorites, there's three of those in there. Arc Like Phoenix, I think, just changes the whole way that Izzet decks can play. Goblin Electromancer just is just an absolute all-star. That's definitely something I would be interested in trying to tune. I don't think this deck is all that tuned, to be honest with you. But I think the deck that I would try to maybe pilot if I was going to either GP New Jersey or GP Lille is probably the Boros Angels deck. To me, that one has such good synergy and has a resiliency about it. I think that might be one of those that we see peak and maybe fall, but I think it's going to be a standard player for quite some time.
One of the decks that popped up was a PPTQ winner from like a 200-person PPTQ, which was a huge one. That was Jeskai Angels, but I just don't know if it can keep up. It plays like Wrath Capuchin. I was really interested in that. I think Selesnya Tokens is kind of bad right now. I think that the Golgari is kind of king, but I think you need to watch exactly how you build that Golgari deck. There is some Abzan decks running around that are interesting, but the big cards I really like are obviously Carnage Tyrant. The other cards are like Banefire. And then I think there's some like really cool cards to be, or like Immortal Sun, I think, has a place somewhere. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. I don't really know how I want to do, or how I would do that, but I don't think the Izzet deck, after playing the Izzet decks for a while, I don't think that they're powerful enough. Maybe they're not powerful enough because they're not tuned enough, and I think the Golgari decks what is kind of the king right now.
All right, the Revenge of the Golgari. 1 week ago, we gave their mechanic Undergrowth the thumbs down, and they've come back to apparently rule standard.
Really? Do they use Undergrowth that much, though? I mean, well, if you look at most of them.
I mean, some of them use the Ryazome Lurker for a discount on the creature. But yeah, a lot of them haven't gone heavy that I've seen on Undergrowth. One card that needs a defined metagame in order to thrive is the Backbone of Control. Just a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Brian, you're a control mage. Is this a good weekend to get Teferi out? Because control needs to know what it's battling against. Do you think the metagame has settled enough that you can build a control deck correctly yet? Or is this not a good weekend for Teferi?
I always think in the hands of the right player, it is a good weekend for Teferi. That card is so bonkers. And if you can get to it, that's the whole thing. You know, what is your ratio of settle the wreckages? What is your ratio of keeping the board clean, basically? And so is Jeskai the best build for Teferi now? Or is it going to be just a straight Azorius blue-white? Tending to lean toward the Jeskai, but we don't get Hallowed Fountain in Standard until the next set. And that might be, you know, a deal-breaker, honestly, just to try to get on curve color. Yeah, I would love to see it. I'm sure there's going to be some decks in there, and I'll be curious to see how well they do. But yeah, I think that's a great experiment going into this weekend, is how good can control be with all of these kind of value decks running around.
Matt, same question. Would you thumbs up or thumbs down Teferi this weekend?
I like it as long as you're running last week's pick of a Takatli Honor Guard. You need to know this is a Carnage Tyrant meta. Be prepared for that, whether it's Settle the Wreckage or Cleansing Nova, something like that.
Oh, my nipples just got hard. It's a Carnage Tyrant meta.
I'm
ready to go. Let's do this. Let's get out the big dinosaurs. Always ready for that. All right, have fun this weekend if you're playing a GP Jersey or GP Lil. Kudos to Wizards. We don't say that very often. Unfortunately, we think a lot of times Wizard brings it on themselves. But this weekend, they did something fantastic. They helped with the fundraiser Extra Life to help fund Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Wizards, you did a great thing. Good on you. Here's looking forward to more things to help the community in the future. Speaking of helping the community, Matt is here with this week's How to Handle Bad News PSA. Matt, if you'd like to kick back, put an extra whiskey stone in your drink, and let this story unfurl itself, because I think there's some points of education and some points that you can drive home that people who have been victimized by a robbery, by a quick magic scam, may be able to pick up on here. We detailed last week, your car got broken into, amongst other things that were taken. You had a fairly valuable backpack of magic cards, deck, collection, so forth, taken. And it turns out, after you did some hard work this week, you've got a happy ending to share with us.
I have to give credit where credit is due. I had some very interesting like foils in there, and I posted these foils and said, hey, like I had a Korean foil, pack foil Liliana. I'm probably the only one in the state of Kentucky that has one of those. I mean, let's be real. 2 Expedition Verdant Catacombs, 2 Liliana the Veil that were signed by Steve Argyle. And there was a few other like identifying ones as well. Yes, I had some very valuable cards that were stolen, but they were semi-easily identifiable. Posted the list onto the local group, Facebook group, and I said, hey, you know, this happened. Somebody out there, and I will not name names, one of the local players said, hey, I found your stuff on Letgo, which is kind of like a Craigslist. You know, it's app-based. OfferUp and Letgo are usually used to sell stolen materials. I went down, met with the detective that had my case, explained to him. He didn't really understand the magic cards, but he was very, very helpful. You know, he understood, hey, these are valuable. Submitted all the information, what was taken, identifying marks. Deck box was a big one. Deck box and sleeves, because I had like a dragon skin deck box, so pretty easily identifiable one. And he said, well, set up a meet, and if you can meet this guy, I'll go in your place. You know, I'll make an arrest if he's in possession of stolen property. Did as he suggested, and the guy got back to me on Sunday, mentioned to me, he said, I want to meet you. Like, we met at, well, we were supposed to meet at like a McDonald's. This was on Sunday, mind you, Sunday afternoon. The detective was on his day off, came in, drove 20 minutes, 25 minutes one way, talked to me on the phone and said, hey, I'll go in your place. How do I identify the guy? Said he's carrying a backpack. Detective called me back later and said, hey, I have your stuff here and I need you to come over and identify it. Got almost all my cards back. Some of them were damaged. All the expensive cards were there. I think I'm missing a small deck box that just had like some random Guilds of Ravnica cards in it. Missing like my Tryhards playmat, missing, you know, some odds and ends, and my backpack itself. Long story short, there is, work with your local police department. The detective was extremely nice, and I actually called his boss today and said, hey, he was extremely nice. I'm very thankful he was on my case because he took it very seriously, unlike a lot of what you might think of a lot of other people would. He goes, well, you know what? He goes, we actually owe you a little bit of a thank you because you did a lot of the hard work for us. And this guy turned on somebody else who he was buying stolen property from. And this other guy actually matches the description of several. He said actually about a dozen cases that they had open. They were hopefully they actually were getting search warrants and everything. And they were hoping to get that guy arrested. The guy that was had stolen property, get all a bunch of people stolen property back. Work with your local police department because they're going to, if you give them the information, they're going to help you out. It was a happy ending because that was the bulk of what was stolen.
TheTryHards3@gmail.com. I'm not giving that out for our patrons or listeners to contact us. I know that Dick Wolf's assistant is probably listening. And so Matt can make some more money selling this story to Law and Order. Magic cards stolen. Detective help give some back. I can see it now, Matt. The creative rights. You should get the check for that. All right. The Tryhards 3, Dick Wolf.
I know it's a ridiculous story, but it really does. It really was extremely helpful to sit down, explain what was going on, share the information. And I'm just really, really glad that I was working with somebody who could do that for me.
Ridiculous sometimes is the best way life turns out to be. The fact that you got everything back, and you told me when we were talking on the phone that the detective had a little extra relish in busting this gentleman because he had no idea what these things were actually worth. Is that correct?
When I did my claim, because I'm a degenerate, it was worth a hair shy of $4,000. And that was being kind of generous as far as I think I underpriced them. The detective, the guy was sitting there handcuffed, and the guy was not talking really. He was just giving his sob story. And he goes, let's play a little game. What'd you supposedly trade for these cards for? He goes, man, I gave up these two Nike shirts that were really nice. And he's like, looks like it was a bad deal now. And he's like, what were you going to sell them to this guy for? $190. And he goes, how much are they worth? And I said, a hair shy of $4,000. And the guy's jaw just hit the floor almost immediately. And it was pretty funny because he goes, what? He's like, I thought they were like Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I go, they are, except much more valuable.
He who laughs last. I think that's how the end of that moral goes. Well, Matt, congratulations for getting those back. I know you were very stressed this week. You had a number of other things going on in your personal life, and you've been a Matt that's at war with itself. Joy, despair, the whole range of human emotions, and now you're all on one joyful page, and we feel great for you here.
We actually did not want to leave the house yesterday after that happened because we took some awesome engagement photos And then then I got my cards back, and we looked at each other. We're like, this day is going too great. Should we just wrap ourselves in pillow and bubble wrap and hide in the corner because something's going to happen?
I'm glad you didn't have like another story. But then we went out to celebrate last night, and I did the whole thing again.
I left my car wide open, windows down, everything.
That's a Matt Hurley story right there. So we went out to celebrate. I forgot to lock the door to the house, and we were robbed. We're glad it worked out for you, Matt. It worked out so well. And Matt's got such the good vibes going, he might actually make it two decent weeks in a row in the elevator. Matt, what do you got for us this week?
I don't know if I can top last week's. Takatli Honor Guard has become the number one selling card, and Emma Handy called it the best underutilized sideboard card in Standard currently. So kudos to me for that one. This week's card, Foil Chromatic Lantern from Guild of Ravnica. This card is about $7. The original Return to Ravnica is about $13. This goes into every EDH deck that's two or more colors. Long hold, this card's going to go up. The Foil Return to Ravnica is probably going to hit 20 in, I would say, 18 months. This one's going to be at least $15. This is a steal at this price. Really low right now, I think, because there's a ton of high-value cards within Guild of Ravnica, but I'd say pick these up at $7. So Foil Guild of Ravnica. Chromatic Lantern.
Tap that box for any color you want if this spec comes through. It's in the elevator this week here on TriHearts. That brings us up to this week's 3 minutes to brew. Brian Brewmaster, what do you got for us this week?
I figured that with Rekindling Phoenix having its day in the sun and Standard over the last 6 months, and then now with the absolute popularity of Arclight Phoenix in Standard, what about the other Standard legal Phoenix, Warcry Phoenix? So let's take our stabs at this one, gentlemen, and see what we can come up with. Warcry Phoenix is 1 red and 3 generic, 2/2 flying haste. Whenever you attack with 3 or more creatures, you may pay 2 and a red. If you do, return Warcry Phoenix from your graveyard to the battlefield, tapped and attacking. Hurley, is this a card that can utilize kind of the return to the battlefield effects pretty efficiently because of all the crazy shenanigans that people can do with Runaway Steamkin and, you know, the mana generation? Or is this just not good enough to maybe make it a player in the red decks going forward?
I just don't think this card's good enough. I hate saying that. 2/2 is significantly worse than Arclight Phoenix. The Arclight Phoenix is actually free versus this costing 3 mana. If it didn't cost 3 mana, I would say fantastic. I do like this in the sense if there's some sort of red tokens build, and that red tokens build will probably come whenever we get the Rakdos, like black red. Maybe we'll see some type of tokens or something. I do think this has a place somewhere. I just think it costing mana is a huge downside.
I like Phoenixes, and I've liked them in the past, but I like it when they have alternate trigger costs for returning them to play. One that I used in the past in its heyday was Chandra's Phoenix, and the fact that it was reliant on you dealing damage with a red instant or sorcery to put it back into play was something the deck actively wanted to be doing, which was leveraging its mana in a forward momentum kind of fashion. The fact that Warcry Phoenix wants you to attack as well as hold back mana on the same turn, I think is the limiting factor for this one. If it was bigger, if it was a 3/3 or a 4/3, sure. 2/2? That's a hard sell for me. So I think Phoenixes that have alternate triggers, whether it's the current Phoenix in Standard, whether it's something like Chandra's Phoenix, I think those are where you want to be. Even if you're confined to a one-way street, like the Phoenixes that can't block, at least leverageable if you can use the forward momentum of your deck to get that extra value.
I kind of agree with you. I kind of figured that's where we were going to all end up as on the same page. I don't think this is necessarily the better of the Phoenixes. It's not like we're trying to break this card or anything. It's fascinating to me, though, because I think there are enough token generators in Standard at the moment. We've got Goblin Instigator. We've got Siege Gang Commander, Regisaur Alpha in red. There's all kinds of cards that can generate tokens that you're attacking with a lot of different creatures. But I just feel like if you attack with 3 or more and you return it to the battlefield, as Hurley said, that's a huge advantage. But having to pay 3 just doesn't seem like it's going to cut it. I think this could be a limited card, But overall, I'm looking forward definitely Rekindling Phoenix and Arc Like Phoenix, I think, are going to carry the day going forward.
This week's 3 Minutes to Brew, War Cry Phoenix, here on TryHard. Brian, you mentioned it. One of my loves right now in Standard when I'm messing around. You know what can go get you your Siege Gang Commander? Militia Bugler. That just feels so good when you use those two together. I've been having fun with those. As far as the Magic that I played, I've been experimenting with a bunch of different stuff on Arena. Mono Blue Aggro with Piston Fist Cyclops. It's fun to play. Boy, if Piston Fist costs 2, it'd be broken. At 3, the whole thing just feels too slow. So I've had fun kind of experimenting with different things, not playing hugely seriously at the moment, just kind of using Magic as a relaxing outlet. Guys, what have you been doing to get better at Magic? You just had the big week of heartbreak and ultimate joy. What'd you do to get better at Magic this week?
Got my cards back. The big one is that I actually am brewing, looking at some Standard decks because I do need to play Standard, and I need to find out, hey, what am I going to play here? Working with the deck builder here, and I won't mention him by name, but working with him, I have found out that he is a very good player, and he actually qualified for the Invitational over the weekend. He's actually going to be at the Invitational with me. He's actually said, hey, do you know anything about Standard? Because I need to play Standard now. So we're going to be working on Standard here sometime soon. I think probably the last one I'm going to go to is last big modern tournament is probably going to be regionals, but I've got to do some preparation for all of that. Super excited about everything that's going down in the next couple months, but it's going to be a whirlwind of Magic playing over the next 6 weeks or so.
It's the best kind of whirlwind. Brian, hopefully you're about to ride the whirlwind into your Legacy tournament coming up this weekend. How have you been preparing, and has any of that had anything to do with how you got better at Magic this week?
Definitely got better, I think, by gold fishing the deck out. It definitely needed more fetches to just go get the basics, to make Back to Basics a much better card, to make the Brainstorms a lot more efficient, obviously, just to get rid of the chaff from Ponders and everything else. And so I'm still debating whether or not that deck wants Preordain over Ponder. I think that's just going to be a testing thing that I do with either you, Sean, or Hurley, if he's got a Legacy deck together that he hasn't lost or gotten stolen lately.
too soon.
Yeah, too soon. Sorry. Too soon. The other thing that I was kind of thinking about in the whole realm of what did I do to get better at Magic, I kind of made a very conscious decision after we got back from GP Minneapolis with my impending move northward to the great state of Wisconsin to kind of just make things simpler for me. I was not going to kind of buy into Standard for this season. I kind of said, yep, Gills of Ravnica. Hey, I bought a lot of Ravnica. I bought a ton of Return to Ravnica and have not, cracked a pack, seen some cards, online kind of stuff. But I just kind of made that conscious effort not to do that. Of course, everybody is saying that this is the healthiest Standard format in, many, many moons. So I feel a little cheated, so to speak. And at the same time, it's kind of like, well, you roll the dice and, life gives you that hand. I still have Modern and Legacy to play, so I'm not too bitter. And maybe if things shake out a little bit, I will still have a chance to play some Standard here in the next 6 months.
By the way, not to short it, SCG has Modern in Charlotte this weekend. We know one tryhard who will be paying extra close attention. Oh, you brave soul. Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Tryhard.